Hey everyone, welcome back to the Period Chats podcast. We're doing our monthly guest episode, and today we are going to be busting the five most common questions or myths we get about women's health. And my guest is Savannah. She's another registered dietitian. She focuses on women's holistic hormone health, and she also does postpartum nutrition, which is such an underserved part of our hormone community. So Savannah, thank you for joining us. I'm excited to jump in and bust these five most common myths we get and pull some clinical examples from our practices. So how are you doing today? Anything else you want to add to the intro? Because you do a lot.
Oh, I am so good. I'm so excited to be on this podcast. I have loved this podcast. I love Kate. So I am super excited to chat today. And I think that the myths that we're going to bust will hopefully serve people in their understanding of nutrition and help to like simplify their day-to-day beliefs in nutrition and lifestyle.
Amazing. So we are going to come in hot with the first question, but this is actually probably one of the biggest things I spend time working with my clients on. And I'm sure you can relate. And I think just with diet culture and the way we've all been trained to look at food, we're going to come in hot with this first one. Myth number one, I need to eat less to reach my goals hormonally and in life. That's the number one thing I feel like people always believe. So
yeah,
Savannah, is that true or not?
Okay, let's jump into that. I feel like there's also a belief of like, I know I need to eat a decent amount, but once I reach this goal, then I'll start to eat normally. You know, like for right now, I have to restrict. But when I get to this like obsolete goal, I'll be able to like eat again. So, and that, and again, like the kind of tagline of eat less and exercise more was like really trendy in the 90s and early 2000s, where being skinny equaled being healthy. So I think it's important to know that eat less and exercise more is not a good thing to live by. Our bodies need nutrients. Our hormones need nutrients. And not eating enough puts so much stress on your body, and it can wreck your thyroid. It can wreck your metabolism, and it can wreck your gut health. Like so many different things that actually do impact your health, your nutrition, your overall well-being and how you feel comes back to one of like the first question you should ask yourself is, am I eating enough? Eating enough calories provides energy for your brain. And when you don't eat enough, when your body's in that state of stress, then your hormones, specifically your sex and reproductive hormones, take a way back seat. And so that leads to like losing your period or losing ovulation or so many different important things that make women feel like crap. And even can cause like inflammation or weight gain or so many different things. So like, will it even help you reach your goal? Probably not, because you'll feel so crappy and it will lead to other more significant health problems.
Yes. And I think too, when we're thinking about like goals, it's like the ultimate goal is to feel your best in your body and to feel healthy, happy, and be able to do all the things you want to do. And under eating and over exercising are the surefire way to not feel that way.
Yeah.
It's just like, and I think it's so hard because like that's what we've been told. And the other thing is, a lot of people don't realize if you have a menstrual cycle, you weren't included in research until 1993. So all of these diets that came out, they were not researched on us. They are not for us. Yeah. And they were researched exclusively on men. And they excluded us because we had menstrual cycles and we were quote unquote unpredictable, which is not even true. Funkit just completed a research study on 30 people who have menstrual cycles, 30 women. So
That's amazing. That's really cool that you did that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. So we were trying to prove the point of doing research on women is not that hard. And so when we're thinking about diets and like even people like, oh, well, this diet's research backed, it's probably just mostly on men. So, you know.
And even ones that include women will require birth control, and they'll put them all on the same birth control like make it more predictable. And just kind of to touch on, and I guess expand on what you said, like, for me, and what I think should be the epitome of health would be functionality, like your body being able to do what it's supposed to do when it's supposed to do it. And that comes back to like having a period, being able to like have your gut work and not be miserable, being able to get through the day without needing to slam 3 cups of coffee. Like your body really does a good job when it has the right ingredients to do what it's supposed to do. So
yes, yes. And especially like hormone health goals, fertility goals, life goals, like they require food and nutrition, and like you deserve it. Like you deserve to feel good and like enjoy the foods you love and abundance mindset when it comes to food. So myth number one, busted.
See ya.
See ya. Gotta eat, gotta feed your body. And you know, like I just, it makes me, that myth makes me the most sad.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I think all of us have struggled with it. I think like we can all relate to that mindset, and we're here to tell you it's not true. It's a myth. It's not real.
Mm-hmm. You need to eat.
Gotta eat. Okay. Myth number two. This was an interesting one that I got submitted like multiple times. Do we need to be taking a calcium supplement to prevent osteoporosis? And I think this is a great opportunity to just talk about calcium in general and its wonderful benefits.
Okay. Yeah. So I would say that the general person doesn't need to be on a calcium supplement to prevent osteoporosis if they're eating enough calcium in their diet. And this is one of the reasons that I am always trying to bust the myth that dairy is so bad for you. Because for anyone who doesn't have an allergy to dairy, dairy's really good for you. And there are like the highest amount of calcium you can get is from dairy. And then you can also get it from other sources like sardines or salmon. You can get it from nuts and seeds. But if you're going, like the most calcium that you can get and absorb is going to be from dairy. So eating a decent amount of fish, nuts, seeds, and dairy, and then also like leafy greens and broccoli are what come to mind. You might want to fact check me on that. For calcium containing foods, and eating those calcium containing foods consistently throughout your life, in my opinion, you wouldn't need a calcium supplement on top of that. And then supplementing with calcium, you can, like, the mineral interaction with calcium can cause malabsorption of other minerals. And you usually won't get that with dietary calcium, but just because of the like dose. But when you are getting it from a supplement, then that can lead to malabsorption of other minerals.
Yes. And I totally agree. 100%. And the other thing with calcium is there is like a minimum amount, or no, maximum amount our body can process per at a time. And it's 500. Let me fact check myself. 500 milligrams of calcium at a time. So if your supplement contains way more than that, it's honestly a waste of money. But I do have a list of calcium rich foods pulled up, and you were right on all of them. Fact check, correct. So you've got dairy like yogurt, almonds, oranges, tofu, beans, leafy greens. Spinach is also on here. Broccoli, navy beans, curly kale, bok choy, salmon, soybeans, rhubarb, which is interesting. So there are tons of calcium-rich food options. And that's when we were developing Cycle Bites. We chose to, and seaweed's another one. We use seaweed for calcium because it doesn't have the same micronutrient interactions as a lab-made calcium supplement. So yeah, so that's on calcium. Here's the thing though. If you do have a history, like a family history of osteoporosis, if you are worried about it, talk to your doctor about micronutrient testing and see like if you're low in calcium, and then go with like a high quality supplement, because really food first is the best. I totally agree with Savannah on this one. Like food first, and it's more fun. Like eating your vitamins is so much more fun. It's just delicious. It's like such a tasty way. And then also vitamin D and vitamin K for bone health are going to be really important. The cool thing is like calcium and vitamin K are both in leafy greens. So like sometimes when you're eating those foods, you're like killing two. No, that, I hate that term. You're knocking two things out at once.
Yeah.
You're knocking two things out at once by doing that. And then vitamin D, a lot of dairy is fortified with vitamin D. I am sadly someone who can't have dairy. It's like, I love it. I wish I could have it. It doesn't work for me, sadly. I have like a intolerance to it. But if you don't, it is a good way. And there's some great research on high quality dairy, full fat, high quality dairy and fertility. It was one, it has been shown to help if you're trying to conceive. So yeah. Okay, so recap. Food first. If you have a history of osteoporosis, talk to your doctor about micronutrient testing, and then look at a high quality supplement that is vetted, has third party testing. But most people can get enough calcium through food if we're intentional about it.
Yes, that's perfect. I love that.
All right. I love a recap because sometimes I get really distracted and I'm like, I need to know what they just said.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. The next one. Is weightlifting good for my hormonal health? And is it going to change my body shape too much? This is like we got a lot of questions around body shape, which I think is interesting. And also if you're listening, this is triggering for you, you can totally skip it. But we're going to go ahead and bust that myth really quick. Weightlifting is the bomb. It is so good for you.
It is so good for you. And I think that like the fear that a lot of women have with weightlifting is that they're going to become bulky, like they're going to gain too much muscle and not like their body shape in that way. It would be really hard to become bulky. Like people who become bulky through weightlifting go through insanely strict regimens to get that way. Like weightlifting for a normal woman who's just like exercising to be healthy is so, so, so healthy for you, and it will not make you bulky. It's healthy for your metabolism. It's healthy for your joints. It's healthy for your hormones, your endorphins. It's healthy to like build strong muscles around your bones to prevent osteoporosis, going back to the last one. And there are multiple other benefits along with weightlifting that like benefit your overall strength, your overall immunity, your gut health, your mental health. Like weightlifting is so, so, so healthy. And I think that a lot of women are afraid of weightlifting because they've never done it before. They've never been taught for so long. Weightlifting was just for men. And it is important to know that you're using correct form to protect your body, protect you from injury. But there are so many resources that you can learn about correct form. You don't have to like shoot for PRs every week. You can just lift weights because it's really, really healthy for you. Building lean body mass is preventative of disease, preventative of inflammation, preventative of diabetes, preventative of so many issues, osteoporosis, like we talked about. And it's so beneficial from an exercise standpoint, from a health standpoint, and it's also really healthy from a hormonal standpoint.
Yes to all of that. And I recently just started weightlifting because of all the benefits, and I can relate that it is scary. I ended up like having some like a trainer help me because I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Please teach me. But I also just like while we were talking, I was thinking like how patriarchal that we're scared of having muscle, that like society has told us like as women and people with periods, like that we shouldn't have muscle. Like, I was just thinking like how crazy that society like was like, don't be strong. Don't have muscle. Be scared of being strong. And it's like, that's insane. Like, no, we should totally be strong. Like weightlifting's not just for dudes. It's like for everyone. And I had some interesting stats to add to this. So a research study showed that individuals who engaged in regular strength training may enjoy a 40 to 70% decrease in cardiovascular risk.
Wow, that's awesome.
And another thing that's really interesting is when we go through menopause and perimenopause, we start to lose lean body mass very quickly. And it's probably one of the biggest complaints I have with clients who are in those life phases is their body. So the more lean body mass we can build in our 20s, 30s, 40s, the better our bones and muscles will be as we age. And so that's a whole other benefit. And there was a recent study on gut health and weightlifting, which was really interesting, which I haven't fully read yet. But from what I remember, it was like they tested like people who were weightlifting, people who weren't, and your gut microbiome was impacted positively and your collagen production was impacted positively by weightlifting. So is weightlifting the secret to anti-aging? I mean, anti-aging is kind of outdated anyways, but aging well, maybe.
Could be. I think it's a really important piece of the recipe.
I think it's a huge part. And it's crazy that it's been something that's been looked at as like, oh, I can't weightlift. I'm a girl.
Yeah.
It's no a whole more, other though. Episode though, you know, yeah. It's like a whole other societal episode. Okay. Yeah. Number four. And I also, this is another one, get all the time. It is. Are low-fat diets the way to achieve hormone balance?
No.
No.
Emphatically, no.
No.
Having healthy fat in your diet is essential for hormone health. It's essential for ovulation. It's essential for hormone production. Estrogen, progesterone, you need fat to even make and use those hormones. And vitamins and minerals, going back to like preventing deficiencies, fat soluble vitamins need fat to be absorbed, like vitamin A, D, E, and K, which are massively important and massively important, especially, I can't even especially them, all four of them are super, super important for hormone health, and you need fat to be able to absorb those. And healthy fats are also in really healthy foods, like fish and nuts and seeds and dairy and meat like beef, and so many different super duper healthy foods contain fat. Grass-fed butter is super high in vitamin A, and you need vitamin A. And like butter, if you're 50 or above, will be like, butter's not healthy. Like, you're immediately go back to that myth because of like diet culture. So I think it's so important that everyone, women, everyone who has a period, men, everyone, children,
anyone
needs to be eating enough fat to have a healthy gut, to have healthy vessels, to have healthy mental health, skin, bones, all of it. Like, your body needs fat to be able to function and function in a really healthy way.
10 out of 10. Like, it's so important. And when we're thinking about like healthy fat too, like fat, fiber, and protein are the essential pieces to blood sugar balance. And when we're thinking about hormones, blood sugar balance is a huge part of healthy hormones and a healthy life and a happy life. Mental health and blood sugar like are so connected too. So just like all around, yes, you need good, healthy fat in your diet. And a low-fat diet, unless you've been instructed by a doctor, for most people, it's not going to work. Like, you need to have fat in your diet. We need to not be scared of fat. And, I mean, you brought up such a good point. Like, I don't think – I didn't even realize this until I went through metabolism classes for nutrition. Like, hormones are catabolic. They're built in the body. And we need things like fats to build cell membranes. And we need – like, it's just such an essential piece of fertility, longevity, hormone balance. Like, every aspect is going to be – healthy fats. And so just yes on that one. You need fat.
Yes. Ovulation, you need fat.
Yes, ovulation. The egg is the largest cell in the human body.
The main event of the menstrual cycle. You need fat for that.
You do. Bottom line. All right. I think that one was easy when we were like, no, you need it.
Quick answer, no.
Okay. The next one, a little controversial. Detoxes. So do you need to be detoxing all the time? Is the body's detoxing system sufficient? And then are there certain use cases for detox? And maybe first we should define detox.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not talking – I'm going to let you define detox. We can both define.
Yeah, okay. So I would say detox – I mean, it's – I would say detox in this context would be like – we're talking about like juice cleanses, like cleansing your gut, detoxing your body from all the toxins from food you've eaten and things like that. I think that like clinically, when you're talking about detox, you're talking about your liver and your kidneys and how efficient they are. at removing waste from your body. So I think it depends on what you're talking about. There are a lot of different like forms of detoxing or like rumors around detoxing. But when it comes to this myth, I think the myth that we're busting is like detox diets and like crash diets to like detox your body, quote unquote.
Perfect. That's like where I just wanted to lay the foundation there. We are going to follow up with our thoughts on like supporting your body's natural detox pathways. But first, yeah, let's talk about the latter. So like the juice cleanses, the expensive detox diets that are hundreds of dollars, the teas, like that kind of stuff.
So in my professional opinion, they're completely fake. Like doing expensive juice cleanses, doing like buying full meal plans that are like detox meal plans, you're truly just wasting your money and like being miserable by drinking juice for 7 days and not getting any real food in your body. Your body is very efficient at detoxing. And like Kate said, and like we'll cover in a second, there are a lot of different ways that you can support your detox systems, which like we talked about are your liver and your kidneys, and then arguably your gut as well, is like a part of your detox systems. But doing like juice cleanses, doing any kind of like dietary detox is like a buzzword to get you to spend money on something that's not real. Which is super sad because I know personally people who have spent hundreds of dollars on like fancy juices that were $10 a bottle and they felt just as crappy after the detox, if not more than they did when they were eating food.
And I think here's the other thing, root cause. Like, so when we're talking about like, okay, so guys, I'm just going to like be vulnerable and put myself totally out here to you all. I was talking to Span about all the stuff I've been doing. This year of health for me has been really tricky. I got a really bad case of food poisoning, which led to a methane dominant SIBO that I was really stressed at the time and didn't have time to deal with. I'm now dealing with it, plus got diagnosed with Hashimoto's. So plus some other diagnoses that I haven't really talked about yet. And so with my health, there was a lot going on. And like I, knowing everything I know, fell victim to like, I'm going to do a parasite cleanse. I'm going to do this thing. They don't work. First off, they're so expensive, but the marketing is so good and they prey so much on your emotions of like, mm-hmm. I feel so bad. I want to feel better. This is going to make me feel better. And the thing is, if you're needing to give your body a break for 7 days from food, there's something else going on. And so then I started seeing someone getting to the root cause of why I was feeling so horrible. And it was one thing, my Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism required a medication, first off. Like, I needed actual medical attention. Second off, that cleanse made it 10 times worse because my blood sugar got so out of control, which made my Hashimoto's go even more out of control, which then cascaded to my cortisol getting above a 25, which, like, is insane. Like, 20 is the top limit. So being vulnerable, putting myself out there with you guys, like, I fell for the marketing. I totally get it. It's really predatory. And then, so yes. But then on the other end of this, dealing with my SIBO and getting rid of my SIBO, I am having like die off of bad bacteria in my gut, which requires me to give extra liver, kidney, and gut support to get those bad bacteria out of my body. So what am I doing? Drinking a ton of water. Getting a ton of sleep, making sure I have 1 to 2 bowel movements per day, eating a lot of fiber, and then taking a broccoli sprout supplement. It's prescribed, which I'm loving. And so I like say all that to say, I get it. It's so tempting, but there are no quick fixes when we are feeling bad, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm so glad you touched on that. Yeah, like if someone is out there dealing with so much bloating, so many cramps, every time they eat, it's painful. Every time they have a bowel movement, it's painful. They're having like gas pains because of how bloated they are. A juice cleanse, as tempting as it is to be like, I'll just drink juice for 7 days and it'll be gone because that's like a quick fix. As tempting as that is, it doesn't work. And putting our bodies were not meant to be on liquid diets. Like humans, we're not meant to consume liquid as their diet. And putting like dumping a bunch of juice into your gut is not going to help anything, and it's going to make it so much worse. And like Kate touched on with blood sugar balance, like, I mean, we're talking a lot about juice. There are so many other ones too. Like there are other like detox diets and parasite cleanses and stuff like that that actually do contain food. But either way, the point is, like Kate said, there's a root cause. There's a reason why this is happening, and you should work with someone who knows what they're doing to help you to get to the root cause and heal it. And it will take months, and sometimes it will take years, but you are actually healing from the inside out, and the problem will go away because you're healed, not because you're slapping a Band-Aid on it or cycling through all the different quick fixes until it's been years anyway and you still don't feel good.
That was like what my decision was. And it's interesting. So like doing all that stuff, some other things that were recommended to me that I feel like have really helped support my body through this like gut die-off phase is lymphatic drainage, paying attention to lymphatic drainage, again, getting enough sleep, moving my body, like all these things, sweating, saunas, like there are things you can do to support your detox pathways.
Yeah.
So not anti-detox, just anti-commercialized, marketed,
yeah,
non-root cause detox.
Yeah. I think it goes back to like to supporting your detox systems and what they're already really good at doing. And that can be removing toxins from your diet. That's something that I really believe in, like removing toxic products from your home, removing toxic like additives that are in your food and different things like that, to not because your liver and kidneys and gut cannot handle it, because they can, they're good at it. And you're not going to, it's not going to kill you if you have like quote unquote toxic things. Because I think it can become really obsessive. And I think that that is just as stressful as having toxins in your life. So, but because you can help your kidneys and your liver and your gut to be more efficient and to feel better while they're doing their job, which is detoxification.
Yeah. And another one I always like to bring up when we're talking about this is alcohol. So if you're worried about this, like feeling like you need a detox, or you're going through something where I'm going through, like a lot of, you know, I gave up alcohol for the last 11 months. And now I've been able to like mindfully incorporate like a drink here and there, like a wedding or a big event. But I really believe that like cutting out alcohol did support my liver and did support my kidneys in these phases. So yeah, that's a big one. I wanted to spend time on that one because it's just like, it's the one I feel like that gets like the most, like it got me, and I know, like I know, and I still paid like $300 for these meals to like be shipped to me that were like honestly crap. Like they had a bunch of additives in them. They had a bunch of preservatives. It was like all freeze dried food. Like, and it was expensive. I'm like, they are making a killing off of this.
So sad.
So stupid. Okay. Well, anything else? That was a lot. We threw a lot at you guys, but those were the five most common questions I've been getting asked lately. And I wanted to bring Savannah on to get her perspective too, because I think it's really great to have like two people kind of coming at it from different angles. But Savannah, thank you for coming. Where can people find you? Where can they connect with you? Are you taking new clients right now? What's going on?
Yes. So they can find me on Instagram and TikTok. My tag is nourished_and_whole, nourished and whole. I think I have just launched a postpartum hormone rebalance course.
Well, have the best day, everyone. And thank you for coming, Savannah. And we will talk to you all soon.